Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to part two of Wired for Love. If you missed last week, I encourage you to get the CD, but we're going to go straight into tonight's message, Wired for Love, part two. And tonight, I think it's going to be interesting. if last week, who wasn't here last week, just for interest's sake, by show of hands? There's a few hands going up, so there's not too much of a gap. Just by means of recap, last week we started looking at the fact that we were originally created or wired by God for relationship with God and relationship with each other. And so God's desire for you is that you have relationship with Him. That's why He created you. Number one. And number two, He wants you to have relationship with the person sitting next to you and the people across the room from you, with each other. That's why Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So He's commanding you or encouraging us to love ourselves, love our neighbors, and love Him. And so that's our original design, our original wiring. And we've just been using the terminology wiring. It's not in the Bible, but we're using it because that's what God really did. He wired us in a specific way to be able to experience His love firstly, and then as we experience that love, to be able to distribute it towards each other. You cannot love anybody, no matter how awesome they are and how awesome you are, you cannot love anybody unless you've experienced God's love and unless you're receiving His love. And you don't have to be perfect to experience His love. You don't have to have your act together to experience His love. All you need to do is ask Him to experience His love. Receive His love. Come into relationship with Him. You receive it a lot easier. Become a Christian and it's a lot easier. Okay, it might not seem like it for some Christians because maybe they look like they're bathed in lemon juice. But the point is when we experience God's love, it transforms us and it changes us. And from there on, we should be different. Amen? We also looked then at how the curse of Adam corrupted our wiring and brought in all sorts of relational problems and even perversions. Okay, so the curse of Adam, when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, we looked at that last week, a whole bunch of crazy started happening. Okay, in this series, we are kind of talking, using specific examples and stuff. And I just wanted to say, like, even tonight, we're going to look at some specific corrupted wiring. And the whole heart behind it is in no way to belittle anyone, because people struggle with different things. You know, gluttony is corrupted wiring. Who ate too much lunch today? I didn't. My hand's not up. I said no. I stopped at some point. It was good lunch, but I stopped. I said, no, I could eat another rib, but I don't want to. You know, sin is sin, and every kind of form of sin is a corrupted wiring. Okay, so we're not belittling anyone. We're not pointing out someone and saying that they're terrible people or whatever, but we need to realize, like I said last week, grace doesn't mean we change the definition of sin and call sin okay and some sin good. Grace doesn't mean sin is okay. Grace means sin is paid for. And your sin isn't a problem from God towards you. He's not holding it against you. He's accepting you. He's loving you. That's what we're saying. Grace isn't saying, hey, do what you want. Grace is saying, hey, that thing you're struggling with, God's forgiven it. And He's got a way for you to be able to walk in true freedom and experience true freedom. That's what we're saying. Grace means sin is paid for and that you can receive healing and walk in real freedom. That's what grace is, real freedom. Okay, can you put up Romans chapter 6, verse 14, please? Okay, I love this verse. Romans is really a book expounding on the grace of God, and we're going to get into Romans firstly in a moment too. But in Romans chapter 6, verse 14, it says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." You know what that's saying? Firstly, it's saying, you're not under law, you're under grace. Amen. We're not disciples of Moses, we're disciples of Jesus. We're not under law, we're under grace. That's the first thing it's saying. But the second thing, that it's saying, is that sin has dominion over you when you're under law, but when you're under grace, it has no dominion or control over you. And so if we find that corrupted wiring or sin has a hold on us in some capacity, then it just means that we're not functioning in His grace, we're functioning in law to some capacity. And so then all we need is to have a mind shift, a change, an operating system change. We need to stop operating according to legalistic works and law, and we need to start operating and relating to God by His grace, His unmerited, undeserved, unearned favor. Amen. So Jesus came to restore our wiring. And that's what grace does. It restores your wiring to its original purpose and intent. I'm sure all of us, I'm convinced that all of us in some capacity, might be big, might be small, but all of us can have a little bit more restored wiring. Whether it's eating too much, or whether it's sexual perversion, or whether it's whatever. We've all got some kind of restored wiring which can take place because we're all in the process of renewing our minds. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Changing our way of thinking and starting to think in accordance with God's Word. Okay? And that brings us to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. The Living Bible first. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but be a new and different person with a fresh newness in all you do and think. You will learn from your own experience how His ways will really satisfy you. So, let me put it like this, you'll only truly be satisfied when you start thinking like God. And when you start thinking like God thinks according to His Word, then you'll start acting like God acts. Okay? You'll only know God's the true satisfaction in life when you know God and when you start renewing your mind according to what His Word says. The easy-to-read version puts it like this, don't change yourselves to be like the people of this world, but let God change you inside with a new way of thinking. Then you'll be able to understand and accept what God wants for you. You'll be able to know what is good and pleasing to Him and what is perfect. King James says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we were wired in a certain way. And like we said last week, society, the devil is all trying to push us to conform to a certain set of patterns, a certain wiring in the world. Okay, if you don't believe me, just go think about the series that you're watching. There's a strong message coming out in the majority, if not all, TV series and movies to help us, or some of the writers of these things have even confessed to wanting to change the way that a generation thinks. A lot of them have confessed to that's their aim with media, with movies and TV series. And then you've got majority of Christians who just sit and accept it, and don't think about what they're watching. I like series. I like movies. I'm not against them. But if you're not careful and if I'm not careful, I'll sit and I'll start to think like they think and accept that as normal and not accept God's Word as normal. We need to be more in the Word than we are in the world because we live in the world, but we're not of the world. We're of another kingdom. And so we need to start thinking like that kingdom if we want to have kingdom results in our life. If you're not going to think like the kingdom, if you're not going to think like the king, you're not going to experience the fruitfulness that God's got for you and the abundant life in this life. And He still loves you and He still thinks you're awesome. He still wants you to be blessed and prosperous and all that. It's okay. But you'll never be truly satisfied in this life only when you die and you meet Jesus face to face. But I'm sure none of us want that. We want to experience that satisfaction and that joy in the here and now as well. But if we want to, then it means we've got to be more in the Word than in the world. Okay? We live here, but we don't have to think like here. The world and God have a different way, a different pattern. If we're not renewing our minds according to God's way, then the world is by default renewing us to a different way. And so we need to start thinking like God thinks and proactively changing our way of thinking. Otherwise, we're just going to just start thinking like the world. And, you know, that's not going to produce the correct kind of fruit. Okay? So, today we're going to start looking at how, you know, we're wired and how we're wired to receive love from God and give love towards each other, but how it's not really based on emotions. We're going to talk a little bit more about emotions because emotions is a lot to do with this wiring story. Okay, and so we're going to look in a bit more in depth here because a lot of people wrongly believe that feelings determine our wiring. Okay, a lot of people wrongly think that feelings determine our wiring, but feelings were created to run through the wiring. Okay, this is more profound than what you think, and I'll explain it as we go. But feelings don't determine your wiring. The wiring was designed to carry your feelings, but feelings aren't the determining factor in your life. I know some of you have lived up until now like that, But now's your moment of change. This is your destiny moment tonight. You're going to change and everyone around you is going to say amen. Because the change is going to be awesome. You know, we've got some people, you don't just hit someone because you feel like it. Okay, if you think you can just do whatever you feel, go kill someone tonight and see what the government says about it. There's repercussions to our action. Okay, but what I'm trying to show you is that you don't follow the leading of your feelings. You follow truth and wisdom. It's not wise to kill someone. And the truth is it's wrong. So you don't do it. Amen? Okay, we need a better amen on that one. Murder is wrong, guys. Yeah. it's the same thing with anything, with sex. It wasn't created just because you feel like sleeping with someone, you sleep with someone. It's the same story. Just because, you know, you feel like taking rat poison and eating it doesn't mean you should. Amen? That's a good place for an amen as well, you know? Yeah, we need to not just follow through on our feelings, but follow truth and wisdom. And this follows into relationships too, because often I felt like hitting people and I don't. And that's why I have many good relationships. Some of you wonder why you have bad relationships, and it's because you follow through on your feelings. In marriage, you can't follow through on your feelings. Love is a choice, it's not a feeling. You don't feel love and then do love, you choose to love. Love is it's a verb, it's a doing word. It's also a noun, it's God, but for us, it's a doing word. It's something that we have to put into action. I choose to love people. You have to choose to love people. Right now, some of you are choosing to love me. You know, we have to choose to love each other. We don't just, you know what, I really don't like this person. Mwah. That's Bold and the Beautiful. I don't know if that's still going. But that's soapy. I don't know what the latest soapy is. But it's like that soapy stuff, you know, where you just follow through on your feelings. And we need to get out of that quick, because that's going to kill you. I've seen it with some people. You know, you feel like killing yourself, so you do. Why else would you kill yourself? Obviously, because you feel like it. Why would you follow those feelings? In the past, I felt like killing myself, and I didn't, because I knew it was wrong. That's why I'm here today. Hallelujah. You know, you don't just follow your feelings, you follow truth and wisdom. Now, this is for all the singles. Married, it's too late. In choosing a spouse, you can't follow your feelings. You've got to follow truth and wisdom. You can't just, why do you want to get married? We fell in love. Because you can fall out of love very quickly. You know, we're just so in love with each other. That's lovely. But why do you want to get married? It needs to be based on truth and wisdom. Here's a couple of things. Firstly, are they a Christian? There's some wisdom right there. And it's based on a truth in the Word of God. Are they a Christian? You know, that's one important point. Another one is, are they a boy if you're a girl? Are they a girl if you're a boy? And I'm not making fun of people. I'm just saying that's a truth from the Word of God. Okay, another one. Do they have good character? That's very wise. Don't just, you know what? They've got the looks that I've desired my whole life. You know, I really like blondes or brunettes. Or your hair color can change. Hair can also fall out. It's true. Some people are testimony to that tonight. Just a joke. But the point is that you've got to base it on reality, on truth, and on wisdom. You can't base it on, you know what, I just feel like, you know, tonight when you drive home, please don't do this, but imagine you just felt like driving on the incorrect side of the highway. It's going to be disastrous. The roads were not wired for you to drive on the right-hand side of the highway. The road was designed for you to drive on the left-hand side in South Africa, whether you like it or not, or whether you feel like it or not. And so you need to do what's right, not what you feel. Amen? And this, I believe, is one of the biggest problems in the world. We're too in touch with our emotions and our feelings. Feelings were created by God for a purpose. Hallelujah. Amen. I enjoy good feelings. I don't enjoy bad feelings. And so I've learned to deal with my bad feelings. I've learned where they've come from, and I learned how to not have them. You know, how to prevent them. Prevention is better than cure. Amen. So, truth is truth whether you feel it or not. And so sometimes you just need to learn to accept the truth and deal with it. Rather than, oh, you know, I really just don't feel like it. You know, if you've got a job, it's a good thing you pitch up at the right time tomorrow morning. That's wisdom. I just don't feel like it today. Yeah, you can do that maybe tomorrow because you just don't feel like it, so you call in sick or whatever. But what about the next day when you don't feel like it again because now you've become a bit lazy this week? What about the next? Eventually, you're going to miss out on your destiny and your calling because you're lazy and you're following your feelings. I started strong, I'm sorry. But the point is that we need to start leading our emotions and not letting our emotions lead us. We'll have better relationships and we'll fulfill our destiny. Amen? Feelings are not always telling us the truth. I mean, imagine I said to you, you know, your best friend just died in a car accident. Your bestie. Your best bestie. They just died in a car accident. You maybe feel some grief. You're like, I can't believe this. You're confused and whatever. And then I see the tears starting to just stream from your face. And I go, just joking. You're going to start to experience different emotions. Anger. You might end up wanting to hit me. And it was based on a lie. Many of us are basing, our emotions are based on a lie because we believe the wrong thing. And so we feel the wrong thing. You connect the dots this evening. We feel something and we think it's truth and reality, but it's not. It's a lie because it's not based on truth and reality. The only place to find truth is in God's Word. This is, God tells you who you are here. He tells you who you are. And if you don't know who you are, then you know, get the I Am devotional and discover your identity in Christ, how loved you are by God, how awesome you are. That's what's true about you, even if you don't feel awesome. You're awesome. As a believer, you're a child of God, whether you feel like it or not. As a child of God, you are 100% right with God, 100% of the time, even if you don't feel like it. Sometimes we feel, oh, I'm just worthless. I've really messed up this week. I'm just so ungodly and I don't feel close to God at all. You know what? Stop following your feelings. Get into the Word of God, which says that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and just believe it. When you don't feel like it, declare it. Because that's what's true of you. Amen? We don't go by feelings, we go by truth, and we go by wisdom. Okay? We were wired for love, but in order to experience love that we have to accept our wiring from God as it is, and then we'll truly be satisfied. Then we'll start to experience true love. Okay? But we'll never be satisfied if we're trying to define our own wiring. Okay, last week we started looking at Romans chapter 1, and we're going to start off there again. Verse 21 to 32. Because although they knew God, they didn't glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. We're going to come back to this verse right at the end. Okay, but this shows how, because they didn't glorify God, they started on a downward spiral. So now if you're somewhere in this downward spiral, I'm not here to make fun of you. I'm here to expose it to you to show you how you can start on the upward spiral again. Because we want you to rise up to the abundant life in Christ. Amen? And so this shows the downward spiral. And it all starts with they didn't know God. They didn't glorify Him as God. They didn't say, okay, you are God. I am not. I accept what you say. Not like, you know, I'm not going to accept a God who tells me how to live. It's the grace life, firstly. He loves you and accepts you, whether you accept Him as truth or whatever. He loves you, whether you accept the truth or not. But the truth is something that will set you free, firstly, if you come to know it. And secondly, you'll truly be satisfied when you accept what He says as truth. A lot of people are not living satisfied lives and living in freedom and living in the good life because they're trying to define what's right. They're trying to define their own wiring. God has designed the wiring. So then it starts to give some fruitfulness, show the fruitfulness of separation from God. Verse, 22. Professing to be wise, they become fools. So they think that they're clever, but they're not. Okay? And change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. So you start to worship anything else, even animals, more than God. Okay, therefore God also gave them over to uncleanness, the lusts in their own hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, to exchange the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. So you can go and carry on with that and explain some more corrupted wiring, but that's just corrupted wiring. Okay, it's corrupted wiring. Our wiring is corrupted when we don't know God, when we don't accept truth as what He says is truth. Okay, and the next verse there, after verse 32, starts to say how, you know, they gave themselves, exchanged natural relations with men for women and vice versa. It's corrupted wiring. We call it okay today, and it's fine in our society, but according to God's wiring, it's wrong. Okay, look at this. As I was thinking about this, I was like, how can I have a very humorous, gentle example? I, when I was busy preparing on this, I was like, God, I need something lighthearted that's not so heavy and whatever. And so I thought, you know, let me use the example of me wanting to be a dog. Let's say I'm choosing now, I want to be a dog. So I'm going to go to the doctor and I'm going to ask him to use a dog's tail from a dead dog. And I want him to sew it onto me because I want to be a dog and I want the ears. And I won't, and you can't laugh at me because this is my truth. And I start to tell you that you have to accept me as a dog because I've got the right to be who I want to be. And I thought, imagine this was a real thing. So I Googled it and it is. Species dysphoria is the experience of dysphoria. I don't know, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Sometimes including clinical something or the other. A delusion or hallucination of oneself as an animal. An excessive concern over one's body image associated with the feeling that one's body is in the wrong species. Now you laugh at that, but that's where we're heading. There's groups of people that gather together, they dress up like the animal that they think that they are, and that's what they do. We're going to watch a video on that, and you know, I'm not making fun of it. I don't want to make fun of it because I didn't realize it was a real thing. These people need the gospel. The gospel is the solution to this problem, as it is to any other problem, including gluttony, okay, including gossip. It's the same answer, it's just the problem varied. So we're going to watch a quick video on this, and then I'll come back.
Stephen believes he's an African leopard and likes to go by his leopard name, which is Shroud. He has strong feline traits and likes to run and hunt.
Climbing and running and stuff is very natural. It's very instinctual. So when I'm climbing up a tree or something and I lay down on the branch, it's pretty close to what I remember.
His leopard side is based on a series of intense memories.
When I was little, I had a lot of smaller memories, usually of laying on a tree branch or sitting on a rock and looking out across the savannah. And this was before I even knew what the savannah was, before I'd even seen a photograph or a video. Externally, I am a human being. I have these hands and this body, but internally, I am a leopard. I have the mannerisms and the behaviors, the thoughts, and the memories of an African leopard. I don't consider myself human at all, other than my body. I see my body as more of a vessel that doesn't match what I really have inside.
That's strange, but there's other things which you don't think are strange in the same category. Okay, so Genesis chapter 1 shows that sea creatures were created on day 5, and that on day 6 land creatures were created, and that after land creatures, man was made. Okay, so if you're going to believe God, then this is what you have to believe. Okay, man was created as God's crowning jewel of creation. That's what we are. We're here as God's crowning jewel. Look at Genesis chapter 1, 25 to 27, God's word translation. It says, God made every type of wild animal, every type of domestic animal, and every type of creature that crawled on the ground. God saw that they were good. Then God said, let us make humans in our image, in our likeness. So He made man after animals. Animal and man aren't the same thing. He even gave Adam the responsibility of naming animals. Okay, so it's not the same thing. We are above animals. Animals are there for us to look after, but we're not on the same level as animals. Okay, then it says, God saw that they were good. God said, let us make humans in our image and in our likeness. God said, let us make humans in our image and likeness, as in God's image and likeness, okay? Let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, and the domestic animals over all the earth and all the animals that crawl on the earth. God said that we should rule over the earth, okay, over the animals. God created humans in His image. In the image of God, He created them. He created them male and female. And so God created us in His image and His likeness. That's the first thing that you got to see there. Okay, well, the video you just saw is not the image of God. It's a downward spiral. And we're not here to mock someone like that or belittle them, but it's like people need help. Okay, the world is completely messed up. Don't conform to the pattern of this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind according to what God's Word says. In the last days, we're going to become completely different to the world. And you're going to have to choose which camp you're in. And so I'm encouraging you, start to renew your mind and choose to be in the good camp, the winning camp, okay? Because this is a downward spiral to nothing, okay, to disaster. God created mankind above animals. As I said, we were created to rule over the animals. Now, I'm not saying animals are worth nothing. We need to look after them, okay? The Bible says that the righteous man looks after his animals, okay? The Bible says that God created us male and female. So you're either wired to be a male or wired to be a female. I know some people try and explain that away, but I can't see that. That's what the Bible says. Yeah? The species dysphoria may not be a major issue now, but it's going to be. Because that's where we're heading. Okay? You know, sexual preference has been an issue for some time, and so it's maybe we become numb to it, and it's not such a big issue for a lot of people now, but transgender issues are fast becoming a big issue in this country, and there's a lot of schools which are already discussing transgender bathrooms and things like that. It's a downward spiral. The world is going there. Next, it will be species dysphoria. It'll be my child identifies as a cat, so he doesn't have to go to school. What if he realizes he's not a cat when he's 30 years old? Then he's not educated, he can't read, he can't write. This is messed up, okay? The Bible says He created them male and female. Genesis 2, 22 to 24. It says, the Lord God formed a woman, that's a girl, from the rib that had been taken from the man, which is a boy, and He brought her to Him. Okay, the man said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and she will be named woman because she was taken from a man. That is why a man will leave his father and mother and will be united with his wife, and they'll become one flesh. It's not complicated. But society has made it complicated. Why? Because we're following our feelings. Feelings are king. Okay, feelings are not king. Feelings can lie to you. Hey, if I wanted to hit you now because I felt like it would be wrong. And if we're going with this pattern of thought, then who are you to say I'm not wrong? Because I want to hit you, I can hit you. There's no more absolutes if you start going down this road. Yet there are absolute truths in the Word of God. Okay, it's not complicated unless you're following your feelings. Truth is truth. You know, but I won't be truly satisfied unless I'm giving into these feelings. No, you won't be truly satisfied unless you receive God's love. And God's love is the answer for all of this. Relationship with God is the answer for all this. He doesn't expect you to, you know, get rid of your species dysphoria before you come and experience relationship with Him. If you feel like you're inside, you're a dog or a cat or a leopard or whatever, and you want to have relationship with God, go for it. But it's going to change you. You don't have to get rid of your gluttony or your porn. Or you're swearing or whatever before you come to Jesus and you receive Him. What does it say to be born again? Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. If you can believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and you can confess with your mouth that He is Lord, you can be saved. Okay? Then once the Spirit of God comes to live inside of you, it starts to transform you. And it's a process for a lot of people. But in that process, you might start to realize, I'm created in the image of God. I'm not a leopard. And then you start to embrace a new way. Okay, but we got to realize that thinking determines our actions and our emotions. But for many people, their emotions determine their actions. I want to challenge you this week. Try not follow, just do everything you feel like. Do what's right this week. For example, when the alarm clock goes off, at whatever time it goes off at, get out of bed. And don't follow your feelings to hit the snooze button. If you believe that you can still sleep in for another 10 minutes, set your alarm clock for another 10 minutes rather, and get out of bed when the alarm... That's a form of following your emotions. And if you think about it, all sin is emotional. All sin is paid for. Amen? All sin is paid for. So I'm not condemning anyone. All sin is paid for. Jesus paid for everyone's sin. Doesn't matter what the sin is. But I'm trying to show you, sin is emotional. Your emotions took you there. Okay? God's word, truth, wisdom didn't take you there. Your feelings took you there. Proverbs 23, verse 7. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Okay? So the way that you're thinking, the way that you're believing is what's taking your life in a certain direction. Okay? It's taking your actions in a certain direction. Romans 8, 6. For to be carnally minded is to think carnally according to the flesh, according to your senses, according to your feelings. That's what it's saying. If you're thinking according to your feelings, what you can taste, hear, smell, feel, whatever, it results in death. But to be spiritually minded, which is word-minded, it results in life and peace. If you want life and peace, which is what everyone wants, you have to be word-minded. Not empty-minded meditation, word-minded, biblical meditation. Filling yourself with the Word of God, not emptying yourself so the demons can come and play with you. Okay, you need to be word-minded. Fill yourself with Scripture. Fill yourself with the truth of what God's Word says about you. Your environment is not the determining factor in who you are. Your environment doesn't say, this is who you are and this is how you're going to be. What you believe about yourself inside could be affected by your environment, but you chose to believe that about you. That's what determines your life. That's why getting into the Word, if you don't have it, please take it. If you don't want to pay for it, take it. That will help establish you in your identity in Christ. Because you need to see yourself as God sees you if you want to be able to experience the abundant life. Okay? It's not complicated. You can lead your emotions in the right direction just by choosing to think correctly. We don't think about this often, but you can choose to think about what you're thinking about. Many of us don't think about that. We just think that any thought that comes into my mind is mine. A preacher once said, "You know, I can't stop a bird from flying over my head, but I can stop it from making a nest in my hair." Many of us, we have a thought that just passes by, and it's sinful, and we really feel bad for it. We think it's our fault, and so we just feel ashamed. And it wasn't. It was the devil whispering in your ear, or it was you remembering something from a movie or something like that, but it wasn't your thought. When was it your thought? The moment you said it, the moment you accepted it as your thought. You can stop it from nesting in your head. You can stop it from camping and becoming yours. I remember, you know, when I wasn't feeling so good and I was following my feelings years back and I was just like down in the dumps and I had this thought. I was standing at a specific robot in my car and the thought was, you're not good enough. No one really wants to be your friend. You're just pathetic. And I thought to myself, that's true. I took that thought, that bird that was flying over my head, I took it. I said, that's true. And then I made it my own by saying, I really am pathetic. And that was my downward spiral where I eventually wanted to kill myself. And I knew it wasn't right and I knew it was wrong. So I chose to go up again because I knew the Word. So I knew how to get out of it. And that's what I'm trying to help you with now this evening. In some form, we are all corrupted in our wiring and we need to renew our minds, renew our wiring so we can experience the abundant life. Okay, Deuteronomy 30 verse 19 says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both you and your seed may live. God has given us the choice of life and death, blessings or cursing. Some of us might be experiencing just terrible things in your life. You may be just experiencing the, you know, just curses and all sorts of things. It's not God. He gave you the choice to choose that or not. If you're not resisting it, you're choosing it. You've got to resist the devil for him to flee, James 4:7. If you're not resisting him, you're inviting him. The devil brings sickness on some of us, and we're like, oh, this is so terrible. I've got sickness, maybe it's God's will or whatever. You're inviting the devil just to make camp and, you know, would you like a cup of tea, devil? How many sugars? You're inviting him to stay longer than he should. We resist the devil by actively fighting against him. We need to resist some of our feelings and thoughts by actively fighting against them. Otherwise, it's going to wreck your relationships, wreck your life, wreck your marriage, wreck everything. How many of you want a wreckage? No one. Before you put your hand up, you're deceived if you put your hand up. You don't want a wreckage in your life. You want the abundant life. You want the good life. So that means we've got to choose to set ourselves up for that. Okay? It doesn't just happen by accident. John 14:1-4. You know, Jesus is about to be crucified. The greatest tragedy that his disciples would ever face. He's about to be crucified. He's spending some last moments with his disciples. And he says to them, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." That's an awesome passage of scripture, and that's changed my life radically over the past however many years. I think I first saw this truth there about 8 years ago, ten. And it was that first couple of words, "Let not your heart be troubled." Let not. Your. It's your heart. And you can choose to let it be troubled or not. Some of you might just, I just don't have any control over this. I'm just so fearful. I'm just so anxious. I'm just so worried. I'm just so whatever. No, you're choosing that. And you might think it's difficult to get out of it, but it's not, because the antidote is trust God. Just choose to trust God. It's a choice, the same way you're choosing to be worried. Same way you're choosing to let your heart be troubled. You can choose just to believe in God, believe in Jesus. Faith, believe in God, believe in Jesus. Faith is the answer to your heart's problem right now. You feel like following some deceptions and you feel like going in a certain direction. You feel like choosing your wiring or whatever. Go with faith. Where does faith come from? It comes from the Word. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. So get into the Word and allow God to rewire you. Because that is going to help you to not let your heart be troubled. When your heart is troubled, don't just follow it. Don't just go with it, because it's deceiving you. Okay? You decide if you're troubled or not. Troubling circumstances will come. Amen? Many of us have experienced that. Troubling circumstances. But let not your heart be troubled. You have the authority. You have the power to let your heart be troubled or to not let your heart be troubled. How many of you enjoy being troubled? Nobody. I really don't enjoy being troubled. And so when I'm feeling troubled or anxious, you know, I still do from time to time. I realize it's because my focus is wrong. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. I realize that I'm thinking on troubling thoughts, and so that's why I'm feeling troubled. Okay? You might not want to do something that's wrong. But the more you think about that and meditate on that, the more you're setting yourself up to do whatever's wrong. That's one of the reasons, just one, why porn is so dangerous. Because you're looking at pornography and you might not be wanting to do anything that you're seeing in pornography, but you're setting yourself up to be able to do that, because as a man thinks in his heart, or as a woman thinks in her heart, so is he or she. You're setting yourself up for failure by what you're focusing on. You have control over your actions. You are responsible for your actions. You choose whether you do something wrong or right. I remember years back, people that I know, was in an affair, and big problem and big story and whatever. But at the end of the day, she blamed the people around the friends for not praying for him enough. Let's just think about that for a moment. It's not my fault I didn't pray for him enough that he went and slept with someone else's wife. It was his fault because he chose that. Okay? You are responsible for your own actions. I don't know what the process was for him, but your process has already started if you're setting yourself up for failure. What you're thinking about is setting yourself up for failure or success. What you're thinking about, what you see or believe about yourself is setting yourself up for disaster or for great success. Okay, it's up to you. So the danger of feelings. Feelings aren't all that bad. We can lead them. They can be a blessing to us. But we need to lead them. Okay, we mustn't just follow our feeling. Okay, you know, Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee." Many of us think that peace just kind of pops on you. You know, peace just falls on you. Or, you know, God, I really don't have peace. I'm just asking for your peace now. Yeah, follow the peace of God. That's a different story. For those of you who know that teaching. But the point with this is that peace in your life in general comes because you're focused on God. Because you're focused on the truth of the Word. You're focused on His promises. If you're not focused on the promises of God regarding protection, okay, we'll have more of Psalm 91 reprinted soon, and that's a whole book about protection and how God wants to protect us and how we've got a guarantee for protection. But if you're constantly thinking about how many things can go wrong in your life, and I'm so scared that, you know, I don't know, someone's going to, you know, wake you up in the middle of the night with an axe or something. If you're scared about that kind of stuff, you're setting yourself up for disaster. You need to stop thinking like that and start thinking word thoughts. Start digging into the Word and start thinking spiritually so that you can experience life and peace. I never used to like flying. I used to freak out when I was small and I would fly and stuff and I'd be praying all the way and all of that. Now I don't even think about it when I get onto an airplane. Actually, every time I get onto an airplane, because I fly a lot now, but every time I get onto an airplane, I touch the plane on the outside. I say, "Thank you, Father, this thing is blessed." Because I'm on it. Doesn't matter what was wrong with the plane, nothing's wrong anymore because I'm on it. I just have a contract. I can sleep, bring the turbulence on. It's sometimes a bit of fun. I don't want to go on the Cape Cobra or something like that at an amusement park, but a little bit of turbulence, you know, can be fun. Gets me praying. Shandala, you know, like the people next to you start to wonder. I'm not going to share that story, but I've had some bad turbulence. One of our leaders in Grace Life, who's probably listening to this right now, was sitting next to me freaking out at the bad turbulence once, and I was laughing. I was having a good time because I knew this thing can't go down. We're on it. You have to be thinking positive thoughts, word thoughts, good things. Otherwise, bad things are going to happen because you're entertaining them. Anyway, if I think long enough about doing something wrong, I'm going to do it. That's the point. Okay, we need to learn to live by truth, not feelings. Whether it's feelings of fear, feelings of not wanting to do what's right, or feelings of embracing sin as good. You know, we need to let, if we let loose with seemingly insignificant things, it will grow. And what do I mean by that? If you keep hitting the snooze button, it's an emotional decision and it leads to bigger things. If you keep lashing out at people because you just feel like, "I just have to tell you how I feel." That's deception. But if you just feel like, "I just have to be honest, I'm just going to tell you how I feel. When you did that, you just made me feel like X, Y, and Z." If you keep following that, it's wrong, and it's going to lead to other things. Then, you know what, I just love my kitten, and I think that we're soulmates. You can go and get married online to your pet. In the UK and in the US, it's already happening where people are marrying their... I read an article. I don't know if you have the picture there, but if you have it, put it up. Woman marrying her dog after first husband, a cat, died of kidney failure. That's a real deal. On the website, Marry Your Pup or whatever it is, I don't know what it's called, she's the poster girl for this. That's a downward spiral. Only the gospel can help someone there. Anyway, I cannot go by feelings in general. You can put that off. We don't want to look at that too long. We cannot go by feelings in general. I feel lonely. Let's start off really basic. I'm sure every single one of us has felt lonely at times. If you give into that feeling, it's going to make you feel very self-absorbed, self-focused. It's going to end up in disaster. So we shouldn't go by feelings in general. I just feel lonely because God has promised He'll never leave me nor forsake me. I'm never alone. I don't feel like stopping at that red traffic light right now. Try. Please don't. Please don't. Might be your death or someone else's. I just don't feel like brushing my teeth this week. Please do. We beg you. Brush your teeth. I've got mints in my pocket pretty much all the time. I'll offer you one if you have bad breath. Anyway, you know, I just don't feel like going to church today. You're robbing yourself. You're robbing us. There's good things and there's bad things. Choose good, not bad. We shouldn't go by feelings about how about ourselves. I feel like I'm useless and I can't do anything. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and you can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives you strength. Of course you can. You can do anything. You know? Some of you keep saying, I'm so tired. That's why you're so tired. I just don't feel loved. I don't feel that. I feel like nobody loves me. Some of you might feel like that right now. It's an easy one. Nothing can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate. You are loved by God. Who cares if anyone else loves you or not? God, the creator of the universe, loves you. That should be enough for you. It's not because you don't hold God's opinion above anyone else's. That's why it's not enough for you. But if God's opinion is more worthwhile to you than the person sitting next to you, hey, you don't give a rip what they think. God loves me. And feelings about myself, I feel like I'm a dog. We've done that one. Hey, guys, I feel like I'm a pencil now. Please, you have to treat me like a pencil. You cannot accept. Don't tell me I'm not a pencil. I'm a pencil. I'm making fun of something which, because it's ridiculous. You're wired in a certain way. You are who you are. You can't force me to accept you as a pencil. You're not a pencil. Okay? Feelings about romance. I feel like I'm in love with my kitty cat. We want to get married. That's not normal. You weren't wired for that. That'll never satisfy you. I feel my soulmate is my father. It's going there. You're on this downward spiral, it's getting there. I'm so in love with my grandmother. That's where it's heading if you don't have absolute truth anymore. Okay? Unnatural relations will never satisfy you. They'll never be truly healthy because it goes against God's natural wiring. It goes against original wiring, original design. I may feel something that's let me put it like this. If you feel something, if you've accepted something because of feelings that isn't natural, that isn't according to truth and wisdom, God still loves you. If you think you're a pencil, God loves you. He doesn't think you're a pencil, but He loves you, even though you think you're a pencil. He loves you even if you want to marry your kitty cat. He loves you. God accepts you. He loves you. He's not rejecting you based on that. His acceptance or rejection of you is, are you righteous or not? And righteousness isn't just an action, it's an identity. You receive Jesus, you become born again, you might still think you're a pencil, you might still think you're a moron, you might still think whatever about yourself. Your feelings and thoughts might be wrong about you when you become a Christian, but now, because the seed of God is in you, because you're a new creation, you're going to start to change. And you might constantly reject that change. You might say, no, I want to be a pencil. And so you just start going with that. But you know what? The truth is, that change is trying to come out of you. And you will always have conflict inside of you because you know that there's something inside of you telling you, you're not how you think you are. You were created to be more than a kitten. You're not identifying as a leopard. Now, God has created you for more than what you feel. But what do you do with these feelings? Now, we're going to look at how to deal with corrupt wiring in a moment, but it's basically just focus on God's love for you. If you identify gluttony or whatever as a corrupted wiring inside of you, just focus on God's love for you. Okay? Renew your mind by looking in the Word, seeing who you are in Christ, and choosing to accept that. It will transform and change you. And when you change your focus and your belief in your heart, then your feelings will start to change. Then your actions will start to change. But just listen to this. Until your feelings change, do what's right. Based on what you know from God's Word, not based on what you feel. Not based on what the psychologist is telling you. Not based on what the world is telling you. Not based on what series you're watching is telling you or what the government is telling you. Based on what God's Word is telling you. until your feelings are in accordance with God's word, choose what's right. Because the right thing is always the right thing. You don't just, and I just don't feel like stopping at the red lights. Until I feel like stopping at a red traffic light, I'm just going to keep going for it. You're heading for disaster. Until I feel like it, I'm just going to drive on the wrong side of the highway. You're heading for disaster. Choose rather to do what's right, even though you don't feel like. Jesus even said it. Okay, look at this. Mark chapter 8, verse 34, God's word translation. Then God called the crowd to himself, along with his disciples, and he said unto them, those who want to follow me must say to the things they want, say no to the things that they want. Another translation says, deny themselves, and pick up their crosses and follow me. Those who want to follow me must say no to the things they want. The feelings and the desires that you have that are contrary to God's word, deny them. Say no to them. Don't go with them. You're heading for disaster. As much as you feel like doing them, don't do them. Because it's not good for you. Okay? God's word can change you. Grace will transform you. You'll start to feel like it. But until such a time, do what's good for you. Which is doing what God's word says. Deny yourself. Okay? Say, you know, it doesn't say, hey, until you start feeling different, follow your feelings. God doesn't say follow your feelings. He doesn't even say follow your heart. Many of us have that bumper sticker, follow your heart. We believe follow your heart. Your heart is deceptive above all things and can mislead you completely. That's why you need to transform your heart by God's word and start to change your way of thinking. Think like God thinks and then you can make decisions like God makes. Okay, but there is real true freedom and you don't just have to live denying yourself forever. There is freedom. For whatever condition you've got, go Google freedom from X, Y, and Z testimony on YouTube and you'll find something. I've watched the most amazing testimonies this week and I would love to have shown you some of them, but they're all just too long. But you go Google it. People have been set free from all kinds of crazy. And now they're free. Okay? Romans chapter 1 verse 21. How do we reverse this corrupt wiring? Well, that verse says, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So this shows the downward spiral, but if you reverse it, it shows the upward spiral too. How to change our way of thinking, how to start to experience different fruit, and it starts with glorifying God or magnifying Him. When we accept God as God, when we make Him bigger than anything else in our life, bigger than your feelings, if you make God bigger than your feelings, magnify Him. If you make God bigger than your feelings, if you glorify Him as more important than your feelings, you're on your way to experiencing a transformation in your wiring. You're on your way to the abundant life. By saying no to what you feel and saying yes to what God says, you're on your way to a better life. And I'm not being legalistic here at all. God's Spirit and grace will empower you to do this. We'll look at that verse in a moment, if I remember. but I want you to see that this is what's good for you. That's why the Word says it. The next one is, it says, glorify God, make Him bigger than your feelings. Then thankfulness is in there. That neither were they thankful. That was part of the downward spiral. So if you're thankful, it's part of your upward spiral. Okay? Paul listed unthankfulness as one of the signs of the end times, that people would become more and more unthankful. Okay, the Bible says, Psalm 103, verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. So we need to bring to remembrance good things so we can be thankful for it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all His benefits. Remember what He's done for you. Remember what Jesus has done for you and start to be thankful. And as you're thankful, you're on your way up on that upward spiral. Every time you're tempted to moan and groan and complain or just to say, I just feel like I'm such an idiot or I feel like a pencil or whatever, start to be thankful for what God's done in your life and it'll take you on the upward spiral. Then it says, but we're vain in their imagination. So your imagination is an important part of the upward spiral. Your mind, what you see. Stop seeing yourself as an idiot. Stop seeing yourself as part of that problem and see yourself as God sees you and imagine yourself as God sees you. Some people don't experience freedom and walk in freedom from all sorts of things because they see that as part of who they are. It's not. Look at your original wiring and accept that. And a simple example. I am hot versus I feel hot. Okay, maybe that's not a good enough example for you. Let's think about sickness. By his stripes, I was healed. So I was healed. I'm not sick anymore, but I sometimes feel a bit sick. I'm not identifying with my sickness, or with the sickness. My sickness means I'm identifying with it. But I'm not saying I'm sick. I'm saying I feel a little bit off balance today. I'm feeling a bit sick. Would you pray for me? I know I'm not sick. In my spirit, I'm healed. But I'm not accepting this. I just feel a bit sick today. Would you pray for me? You're not accepting that it's part of you. You're saying, it's like, I feel like I'm wearing a shirt today. Some of you said amen. I feel like I'm wearing a shirt. I am wearing a shirt. You know, if I took it off, I wasn't wearing a shirt. But the point is that we need to see ourselves as God sees us and stop seeing ourselves as we feel. Imagine yourself. In your mind, start to see yourself as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Start to imagine yourself free from that bondage that you're experiencing. Start to imagine life without whatever your problem is. A good heart is the last one there. It says their foolish hearts were darkened. Yeah, and so we've got to sow for a good heart. Okay, many people want their behavior to change, they want their life to change, but then your heart's got to change too, because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So start to change the way you think and start to fill yourself with scripture. Okay, we need to make sure that the Word is the dominant influence in our lives. If the Word of God isn't the dominant influence in your life, you will not have a good heart, which means you will not be on an upward spiral. You'll probably be on a downward spiral. If you're thinking according to the world and not according to God's Word, you're going downhill. Okay? We need to flood our hearts and our minds with God's Word. Amen? That's the answer. The reason why we have so much crazy in the world is because we're separating ourselves from God. God is not separating Himself from us. I'm talking about our minds as well. He's still with you. He still loves you. He's still ministering to you, whatever. But when we start to separate ourselves and our minds from God, what does it do? It leads to perversion. It leads to crazy. It leads to weird. It leads to feelings which are out of whack and not in line with the Word. And that's disastrous. Okay? Yeah. Another simple answer to all of this is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. When you're running your race, you're not focused on your feelings. When you're running the race that God has set before you, you're not focused on your feelings. You're not focused on what you think about you, what the crowd thinks about you and what they're trying to tell you. You're not worried about even the coaches. You're focused on the finish line. You're focused on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. This is a faith issue. It's an eternal issue. It's an eternal life issue. It's got nothing to do with the 80, 90, 100 years, whatever you're believing for on this earth. Okay? It's got to do with eternity. So focus on something eternal like Jesus, because He loves you. And when you focus on His love for you, it transforms you. You don't have to try and get rid of that bondage that you're struggling with. You have to deny it, but you're not the one who's going to set yourself free. Jesus is going to set you free. You can put these things into process. Glorifying God, being thankful, etc. You can put these things into process to help your process, and it will really help. But God's power is going to transform you. It's not just memorizing scripture and the scriptures in your mind so that every time you feel something, you can reject it. It's not that. The scripture is powerful. When you take the seed of the scripture and you put it in your heart and you allow it to become part of you, it's going to produce fruit. It's powerful. You want your life to change. Immerse yourself in what God says about you and not what you feel. Amen? Father, I want to thank you that you've set us up for success with your word. That we don't have to experience this corrupt wiring. We don't have to live in bondage. We can live a satisfied life in you because you are the author of good things. And you have good things for us. Through Jesus, you've paid the price so that we could live an abundant life. We can experience true freedom. Real freedom. We can walk in absolute freedom. We thank you for that, Father. We thank you for that, Father. I just feel in my heart, God's just saying that there's some people here, you're so entrapped and in bondage to some things. And it might not be hectic things, it might be hectic things. It might be stuff that nobody knows about you. And you're just thinking to yourself, I could never get free from this. And I just feel God saying, that's a lie. You can. God just wants you to know you can walk in freedom. There is freedom. Doesn't matter what it is, you can be free. He's already set you free. You just need to walk in it. God's not mad at you. He's not condemning you. We're not mad at you. We're not condemning you. I'm not mad. I'm not condemning anyone. But I want you to know that there's real freedom. Freedom from the snooze button. Freedom from that chocolate cake you know you don't want to eat, but you do want to eat. Freedom from lust. Freedom from all sorts of things. Freedom from species dysphoria. Freedom from anything. Whatever bondage it is, it's making you unhappy. It's not really satisfying you, and you know it inside. God wants you to know that there's freedom. God wants you to know that you can enjoy the abundant life in Christ. And if that's you here this evening, then I don't want to make a spectacle of you. I don't want to kind of call you out or anything, but I want to say you need to seek some help, and we're here to help you. Come and speak to me. Come and speak to one of the leaders and just say, hey, you know, I'd like to meet up and just have a bit of just a chat. And we'll walk it through you. We won't expose you. We will lovingly help you. That's why we're here, to help you live the abundant life in Christ. And Father, I just want to thank you that as we just have a time of communion together now, I thank you, Father, that we can just focus on you, focus on what you've done for us, focus on your love. And I thank you, Father, that that's what transforms us, is the fact that you love us without any condition.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.